Shalom, Australia. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held meetings this week with US President Trump's Special Envoy for International Negotiations, Jason Greenblatt. Discussions focused heavily on settlements. Netanyahu and the Trump White House have been trying to reach an agreement on settlement activity since last month, when in a joint press conference, Trump told the PM that he wanted him to hold back on the settlements. The first meeting between Greenblatt and Netanyahu on Monday lasted over 5 hours. Netanyahu has been trying to get the White House's approval for the construction of a new settlement, the first in 25 years, to replace the illegal outpost of Amona, which was evacuated and demolished last month. Before his second meeting with Greenblatt on Thursday, Netanyahu vowed that he would fulfill his promise to Amona residents to establish the new settlement. Greenblatt shuttled between Jerusalem and Ramallah throughout the week. During a meeting at the Palestinian Authority's headquarters in Ramallah, President Abbas committed to combat Palestinian incitement. Several hundred Palestinians marched in an anti-government protest on Monday, calling for the resignation of Abbas and criticizing the PA's security coordination with Israel. In the largest ever purchase of an Israeli high-tech company, U.S. giant Intel Corp said on Monday that it has agreed to buy Mobileye, a Jerusalem-based developer of advanced vision and driver assistance systems, for $15.3 billion. Mobileye develops the sensors and artificial intelligence that allows a vehicle's onboard computer to essentially know where it is in relation to other vehicles, pedestrians, and the surroundings, the key technologies needed for cars to eventually drive safely themselves. 77-year-old Holon resident Asha Faraj, a Holocaust survivor who burned a nurse to death at a Holon clinic on Tuesday, was remanded in custody on Wednesday pending the results of a psychiatric evaluation. 55-year-old career nurse Tova Carraro was declared dead at the scene by emergency workers. The attack led to nationwide strikes for medical workers, among others, who are demanding better security at the workplace. Rima Khalaf, the Jordanian head of a Lebanon-based United Nations agency that promotes development in Arab countries, resigned on Friday after the body she led, the Economic and Social Commission for Western Asia, was ordered by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres to remove from its website a report that charged Israel had established an apartheid regime guilty of racial domination over the Palestinians. The report was no longer available on ESCWA's website as of Friday afternoon. Prosecutors on Friday filed charges in the Beersheba Magistrates Court against M.K. Basil Khatas, accused of smuggling cell phones and documents to convicted Palestinian terrorists and of breach of trust. The charges came a day after Khatas signed a plea deal with the state in which he will resign from the Knesset and serve 2 years in jail. In return, he avoided the more serious charges of aiding the enemy and being an accomplice to terror. He is expected to resign today. At a press conference in Nazareth after the charges were filed, Khatas said he was unfairly persecuted because he was an Arab lawmaker. Khatas said everything he did was driven by reasons of conscience and humanitarian feelings towards the prisoners, adding that he decided to take the deal after examining his options. On Friday, Israeli aircraft targeted a Hezbollah weapons convoy in Syria. In response, SA-5 surface-to-air anti-aircraft missiles were fired from eastern Syria by Bashar Assad's military. The Air Force shot down an incoming Syrian missile using the Arrow defense battery. A 16-year-old boy was hit by IDF fire near the refugee camp of Al-Arub near Hebron on Friday. The army said soldiers opened fire at assailants throwing firebombs at Israeli drivers and that one of them was hit. According to Palestinian sources, he was hit in the chest and evacuated to hospital in critical condition where he died. Haredim, opposed to Israel's compulsory military service, hung effigies of religious soldiers during Purim celebrations in Jerusalem on Monday in a move that police denounced as incitement. Security forces took several hours to remove the effigies, with large crowds cheering their failures. One of the figures was taken to a police laboratory for forensic testing, and police requested the state attorney's office open an investigation into the incident. Two ultra-Orthodox men were detained and brought in for questioning for trying to interfere with officers taking down the dolls. Prime Minister and Sarah Netanyahu are suing journalist Igal Sana for 280,000 shekels over a Facebook posting which claimed that a fight between the Netanyahus had occurred while they were travelling as part of the Premier's official convoy on the highway between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. According to Sana, who works for Yediot Achronot, the Prime Minister was forced out of the car amid shouting. The Netanyahus denied that there was any such incident. The case is being closely followed by the Israeli media, who are debating whether it is appropriate for the head of state to be suing a journalist. Netanyahu apologized on Friday following comments he made during a meeting of coalition party leaders on Thursday. Netanyahu was asked by Finance Minister Moshe Kahlon, who is of Libyan descent, why he called for a 6-month delay of the scheduled April opening of the new public broadcaster, to which the Prime Minister responded, "My Mizrahi gene acted up." The issue of the broadcaster could be a trigger for elections, with Kahlon and Netanyahu unable to agree on whether the IDA should be replaced. David Be'eri, a controversial right-wing activist who has led the movement to renovate the City of David and increase the Jewish presence in Arab East Jerusalem, is one of two recipients of the prestigious Israel Prize for Lifetime Achievement, Education Minister Naftali Bennett announced on Thursday. In 2010, Be'eri was filmed running over a Palestinian miner who was throwing stones at his car while driving through Silwan. The other recipient is the founder of the Lone Soldiers Association, Tzvi Levy. The association supports 3,500 young people annually who volunteer from overseas for Israel Army Service, and more than 1,500 Israeli soldiers who come from disadvantaged backgrounds or who are estranged from their parents. Over 30,000 people took place in the Jerusalem Marathon on Friday, a new record for the number of runners. Despite threats from ultra-Orthodox protesters that they would interfere with the races, the marathon took place almost without a hitch. Police intercepted 3 buses full of ultra-Orthodox men at the Shoresh Exchange on the main highway leading into Jerusalem, suspected of planning to disrupt the race. Several other men were detained inside Jerusalem. Finishing first was Shadrach Kipkogi of Kenya, and Emily Chepkemoi of Kenya was the first woman to finish. Israeli Yara Zangi Radashinsky finished third among the women. The fastest Israeli male was Fenta Gezeshu. Israel Radio reported that the last person to complete the marathon was a man in his 70s from Melbourne. Israelis over 80 years old no longer have to stand in line for services at stores, pharmacies, banks, post offices and other public services, thanks to a legislative change approved by the Knesset on Tuesday. The only exceptions are disabled individuals who get priority over the elderly. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.